and the town was falling into formation. Beneath her, Kathy read out the words, "He is waiting." Sirius yapped, but Kathy needed no encouragement. Her old bones did not feel young as she returned to the stairs. They still creaked and complained as they had grown used to doing, but there was a new feeling now. Perhaps this was the feeling of being rewound. She took flight. On the next story, the halls were empty. On the story above, only old crates and rolls of unused felt. But now she could feel the flickering of the fire she had seen from afar. Its heat touched her, luring her on. She stopped before a wooden door, the only thing of any colour set into the ivory walls. She did not knock, because she did not need to. She pushed it open. The workshop was small, with a fire and a worktop, and a single chair. He was lying back in that wooden throne, a mess of hair and tight white beard, with his head lolling forward. His hands, which had once been so smooth, were mottled in blue with nails like yellow horns, and they twitched in his sleep, drumming out the pattern of some old dream. Kathy stuttered forward. She did not know where to stand. Having no such compunctions, Sirius lolloped forward and tasted his fingers with its darned sock tongue, then lay down to curl at his feet, the thrumming of his motor like a contented purr. Kathy stood above him. For the longest time she watched his chest as it rose and fell. She was aware dimly that the tower had shifted, the sky through the window seeming askew, and wondered, without really caring, whether Martha was moving the toy box even now. He opened his eyes. God, but they were glacial blue. How the years had changed him, and how they had kept him the same. He looked like Herr Caspar, inhabiting the body of his father. His lips came apart. Perhaps it had been decades since he had last spoken, for his voice, when it came, was as coarse as freshly felled wood. "Miss Ray?" he croaked, scarcely able to believe. "Caspar," she breathed. "I thought I told you to stop calling me that." She fell into his arms. They demolished Papa Jack's Emporium, purveyors of childhood delights, on a winter's day in the December of 1953. If, like me, you had been there to see it done, you would have stood in the falling snow, surrounded by so many others, seen the walls come down and the dust rise up, and thought it the very end of enchantment. But you would have been wrong. Come north with me now, past the green splendours of Regent's Park, through the elegant porticoes of St. John's Wood, and north, to a little house off the Finchley Road. Take your shoes off at the door, creep past the kitchen, where Martha Godman's children are putting the finishing touches to toys of their very own designs, while their patchwork dog watches curiously on, and come up the crooked stairs. Here, in a chamber at the very top, sits an ill-hewn toy box, rescued from the Emporium on that last November night. Inside it are worlds too many to be imagined, and two old lovers making new ones every day. The Toy Makers is published by Random House Audiobooks, a division of the Penguin Random House Group. The audio editing was by Richard Hughes. Copyright Robert Dinsdale, 2018. Copyright in recording, Random House Audiobooks. Robert Dinsdale has asserted his right under the Copyright Designs and Patents Act 1988 to be identified as the author of this work.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.